Hey, now let me gather us together around a reading of God's Word today found in the book of Isaiah, as I said, Isaiah chapter 9, verses 1 through 7. Isaiah chapter 9, verses 1 through 7. But there will be no gloom for her who was in anguish. In the former time he brought into contempt the land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali. But in the latter time he has made glorious the way of the sea, the land beyond the Jordan, Galilee of the nations. The people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. Those who dwelt in a land of deep darkness, on them has light shined. You have multiplied the nation. You have increased its joy. They rejoice before you as with joy at the harvest, as they are glad when they divide the spoil. For the yoke of his burden and the staff for his shoulder, the rod of his oppressor, you have broken as on the day of Midian. For every boot of the tramping warrior in battle tumult and every garment rolled in blood will be burned as fuel for the fire. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and of peace there will be no end. On the throne of David and over his kingdom to establish it and to uphold it with justice and with righteousness from this time forth and forevermore. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will do this. And may the Lord add his blessing to the reading of that word. God sent his light, is going to send his light in a very dark place. This region that Isaiah brings up to us here, Zebulun and Naphtali, that Jordan, Galilee area, was the northern, some of the northern parts of Israel. And they were one of the first regions, among the first regions, to be attacked by the Assyrians when they came in to sweep Israel away. And so it was like God had abandoned them, because they felt the brunt of what was getting ready to take place, and that was the destruction of their nation. And so there was deep darkness in that land as the Assyrians poured into and upon them that day. And it's like any light source, like I shared with the children there, it has to be used. And so they felt like God had abandoned them. They felt like God had left them out to dry, as we like to say. But in Matthew 4, we are reminded that these were some of the very areas that Jesus walked. So it was like God reassuring his people that even though it felt at one time in your life you were in deep, utter darkness and I had abandoned you, I am now here with you. My presence is here with you. So God in the person of Jesus Christ walked these very areas and lived in these areas. And God's presence there was with them. So Isaiah is prophesying to that truth, that one area that felt like they had been placed in the outer parts of God and had been cast out of his presence, now experienced the true presence of Christ by the presence of Christ within those areas when he walked the face of the earth. But we also want to not lose the truth of what's going on here as well, that God also walks with us. The light of his presence is with us. And the light of his presence walks with us through that spirit of his that he now walks among us through us. For Jerusalem, that was under the hand of Rome, it was a very dark place. They were in despair. And they had reached a point in their life where a lot of them were just going through the motions. Even their teachers had reached a point in their life where they were not teaching the truth of God, but more the truth of men. And Jesus sought to correct that in his teaching. In a lot of his teaching, you hear him say the contrasting remarks, "You've heard it said this, but I'm here to tell you that." So as he was here on earth and trying to insert God's presence here and assure the people, he brought that light, that wisdom, that understanding. Let me share your thought for today. And your thought for today is God is changing the world through his Son. God is changing the world through His Son. And so He sent His light into that darkness, as Isaiah prophesied here. Those dark regions that had been without God's presence for so long. Must be going around. That had been without God's presence for so long, and they'd just been going through the motions of Christianity. Now Jesus came to relight, to rekindle that flame, and to bring God's wisdom to them. And so God sends that light into that darkness through the presence of His Son. Now God's light can come into that darkness because God has thoroughly defeated that darkness. And that's what verses 4 and 5 are talking about. When it talks about the yoke of His burden, the staff of His shoulder, dividing the spoil there in the end of verse 3, every boot of the tramping warrior, everything that was needed for battle is no longer needed. Everything that had been used to defeat enemies and armies now is going to be rolled up and thrown into the fire. It's not needed any longer. Why is that? Because God has brought complete victory. How does God bring complete victory? Because now through the work of His Son, God has sought to attack the core of what brings disharmony into the realm of mankind, and that is sin. It talks about here as in the day of Midian. Midian was a great oppressor of Israel. And so Gideon in Judges 7 wars against Midian and defeats them. And it was a very sound, and they were very soundly defeated there. You can read that account in Judges 7. And so thorough that the defeat of the soldiers, so thorough was Christ's victory here. That the weapons of war, the things of war, the dress of war will no longer be needed in that day. And Isaiah is talking about a future time when Christ will win that ultimate battle and defeat once and for all the very essence of sin. What He did upon the cross has made a way for God and man to be reconciled together, for man to begin to overcome the sin that haunts us, that wants to tear at our souls, that separates us from God. And as man continues to defeat that sin within the heart and soul of each of us, by doing that we are spreading the light of Christ in the world. We are, as we overcome sin, we are having the church being spread around the world. As we mature in Christ, then we are bringing the church to maturity, because never forget that we are the church. But look at what God here is doing here. As we'll get in here in just a moment, and by sending the Son, what He is addressing is the core issue that we have, and that is sin. God didn't come to raise up armies to fight against other armies. He came to overcome the core issue that haunts each of us, and that is that sinful heart, our sinful nature, the attitude that we have in accepting sin. Just as Israel had sort of accepted that overbearing dark shadow of Rome's oppression upon them, and they had just started going through the motions. If we're not careful, even as Christians, we can make such a peace with the sin that's in our lives that it can begin to hide itself from us. One of the things that we do, and I try to make it a habit, is we pray at least every Sunday that God will make known to us even the secret sins that we have. That doesn't mean that we know it and we try to hide it from other people, but we may not even realize that it is a sin within our hearts. We may not even realize that we have a need for forgiveness of some things that are in our hearts. Without the Lord's help to expose our hearts and make it known to us. So I encourage you that one of the things that we do as we mature in Christ is to begin to make that a prayer of yours as well. To Father, to show me even the secret places of my heart. Those places that may not even be known to me. And so the Spirit's work then begins to shed light as that flashlight that I showed in the kids this morning. As that flashlight goes into all of those little dark recesses and all of those dark corners of a room to show us what is there. So can the light of God's understanding being shared with us by the Spirit's presence within us, begin to illuminate even those dark, hidden corners of our hearts and lives where sin may be hiding. And that's part of the process of maturity as we grow in His grace. So what attacks us, family squabbles to national struggles, are all addressed through the cross, because they all start with that issue of sin. So the light of the sun is God's answer to the world's problems. Isaiah is saying, these are the problems, Israel. How is God going to address it? He's going to send a sun. And so what God is sharing with us this day is, as we look for answers in this world, the answers that we need to seek are found within the Son of God. He shares with us various names, and scholarship has told us that these names are not so much the names of Jesus, other names that He could be called, but these reflect more His characteristics that He came to share with us as He walked upon the earth and as He ministered to us. And so the first thing that you see there, that He will be born. And it says there, the government shall be upon His shoulders. Christ's governing actions are the actions that come to us through that Holy Spirit. The Spirit moves believers into acts of worship and kindness. And these acts of worship and kindness begin to reflect the character and nature of God. We are His image bearers. And so as we want the church to reflect the character and nature of God, we want the church to share God's light with the world, then as we've talked about so many times, whatever we want union to look like, then that begins with us. If you want union to be known as a friendly church, be friendly. If you want union to be known as a church that lifts God high and honors Him in all that we say and do, then honor God and lift Him high in all that we say and do. If you want union to be a church that reflects the peace and grace of God, then you be a peacemaker and a grace giver. If you want union to be a church that honors God through understanding and wisdom and the accumulation of the spiritual wisdom that is ours through His Word, then become a student of His Word. It all begins with the relationship that we have with God. And that relationship begins when the power of sin over us as individuals is voided and annulled. And that comes through the cross. Sin comes into families and causes squabbles. Sin comes into relationships and causes squabbles. Sin comes into lives and causes us to depart from the truth of God. And so the core issue that God is directing our gaze and attention upon is the sin that is in our lives. I'm going to send my son, and he is going to be victorious, not as the great conquering Messiah that some in Israel were expecting, but as the lowly, meek, but mighty individual that hung upon the cross and absorbed the sin of the world within Him. And so that church then, through the work of the cross, becomes that reflection of Christ in the world. He's called and reflects the character of Wonderful Counselor. So who do we seek for advice when we have problems? Do we go to mom, dad, husband, wife, someone close and personal to us? Israel went to other nations when they were being oppressed by these mighty armies that were building up in that time. We talked about that earlier in our walk through Isaiah. We need to be careful in who we approach about advice, because most of the time, humans give advice upon the symptoms of what the core issue is, and not what the core issue is. What God does is addresses the sin within us, and not the symptoms. It would be like any disease that we may face and we go to the doctor for and say, well, I've got a cough or a dry throat like several of us have. There we go. Maybe I shouldn't talk about it. a dry throat like several of us have this morning in church. And so, you know, I go to the doctor and I say, hey, I'm coughing, I'm doing this, I'm doing that. So he gives me cough medicines or whatever without addressing what's causing that irritation to begin with. And so he's pacifying me, but he's not helping me to get well. And what God wants from us is to be well. God wants us to stand before him holy and righteous. And so he had to address that sin issue. The light of God had to penetrate into the darkness of mankind's heart if we are to have sin that is in us exposed and confessed and forgiven and dealt with as God wants us to be. And so be careful of that human wisdom that we seek. Seek the counsel of God within our prayer life. Ask that God will point you toward those who will give you that godly advice, who can be that walk, if you will, that walking partner in the light to help you to see the root cause of what's going on with you. Another thing that he's called here is Mighty God. In John 1, one of my favorite passages in Scripture, says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God. And then it says what? The Word was God. And so Jesus is identified here as that Word. He's also identified as being God. And so Mighty God here is part of who Christ's identity is and that nature that he reflected. John Oswalt said that this king that Isaiah is talking about will have God's true might about him, power so great that it can absorb all the evil which can be hurled at it until none is left to hurl. Think about that for just a moment. Here was Mighty God, and yet he stood, just as we heard described in Isaiah during our Easter and Palm Sunday sermons. He stood silent like a sheep led to the slaughter before his oppressors, and he did it because he was in tune with the will of God, with what his mission and purpose was here upon the earth, which was to use that mighty power to have all the sin in the world thrown at it and deposited upon that power, so that that power then could deal with absorb the punishment and the guilt and shame and all that sin causes mankind, so that you and I can be freed of it. And so the Mighty God here was the power of God to accomplish the purpose of that cross. And yet, as I shared with our young people here, that power can be left on the table by all of those who refuse to tap into it. It's, you know, you've got, we use this old illustration, and I know you get tired of hearing it, but if you've got the cure for whatever is ailing you on the shelf, and you keep walking by it every day, and you keep suffering every day when this thing, whatever it is, this medicine, can make your life so much better, and then we leave it on the shelf. It's like I shared with those young people. You're in a dark room. Your power goes out. You're fumbling around in the dark. The flashlight's right there, but you refuse to use it. Something as simple a decision as that. And yet, for the Christian, that decision should be just as simple. That we call upon the power of God in our lives to help us through whatever this thing is that we're going through. To help us to overcome the sin that's in our lives. To help us to be the man or woman that God would have us to be. And yet we refuse to access it. We refuse to ask for it. So whatever it is, the doubt, anger, fear, even those times that I categorize as spiritual disillusionment or spiritual letdown, when you just say, well, my prayers aren't going to change this situation, so, you know, why even worry about it? Well, Todd Billings is a young pastor. I think he was 39 years old when he was diagnosed with incurable cancer. And he's been doing a lot of writing, and he's been doing a lot of interviews about his attitude during this whole time. He even wrote a very enlightening article about how do you pray for someone when you know that they're not going to get better. And so he says, praying for someone with an incurable condition is not mainly about trying to fix a problem or even finding the right words. It's about joining the suffering and crying out to a gracious and powerful God, acting as living testimony to God's promise in Christ that darkness will not have the final word. If you stop and think about that for just a moment, it's joining together, he said, with a gracious and powerful God, that the darkness of this thing will not have the final word. It's joining hearts together so that Christians can stand together and announce to the world that this is not the end, that this is not going to defeat me, that this is not going to deter me from my relationship with God. It may take me away from my loved ones, but it is not going to surrender me to darkness. And so in Billings' life, he's chosen to take that stand. He knows that he's not going to get better, but he's doing all that he can to minister in the lives of others, to help them see that even in these kind of conditions, that God is good and God is gracious and God is powerful. The next thing he's called here is Everlasting Father. Now, scholars tell us that placing Jesus in this category is not saying that he's the person of the Father and the Trinity, but that in him all creation came about and is still coming. Colossians 1:16 says, "For by him, Christ, all things were created in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities, all things were created through him and for him." And then 2 Corinthians 5 says, "Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come." So Christ's work of creation is still going on each time his gospel of Christ penetrates the darkness of a heart and changes an individual and makes them into something new. You were this old type of individual with the burden of sin upon you, but now we are Christ through his grace and mercy. And the gospel, the truth of that gospel has penetrated into that darkness now. And we are no longer that old person. We're now a new person who thinks differently, who acts differently, who has the resources now, the spiritual resources now to call upon. Does it make it any easier? No, it doesn't. It does in a way, but it doesn't make it completely easy. It doesn't put us on, as that expression, easy street. But it gives us the tools that we did not have before to fight the power of sin, to fight the power of darkness that wants to pull us in, that wants us to give up, that wants us to cast God aside, that wants us to live in doubt and fear and hesitancy and all of these kinds of things. But folks, that again, you know, may you never lose. You got to do that. You got to use the tools that God has given to you. You got to call upon him. He's all of these things. But if that's where he stays in your life, he's not going to affect you. He's going to continue to call to you. He's going to continue to pull you with that spirit that is promised to us through Scripture. But the tools are there. But a lot of us want to keep him on the shelf. Don't keep him on the shelf. Don't ignore him when you wake up in the morning and you walk out and you face the world with whatever is going on. Take him with you. When the darkness that the world wants to pour upon your head, don't leave him on the shelf. Use him to cast light into that darkness and despair. Let him be that Prince of Peace. His peace lies not in our strength, but in the power of God to change our hearts and our lives in this world. I want to close with this from the Daily Bread devotional. It lists these attributes and it focuses on peace. Peace of life's trials. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Peace in life's maturing process. Now may the God of peace himself sanctify you completely. Peace in life's victories. The God of peace will crush Satan under your feet. Peace in life's relationships. Endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. And then it says, what a treasure is ours in Isaiah's predicted Messiah. He is our wonderful counselor, mighty God, everlasting Father, and Prince of Peace. May we give him our full devotion as we ponder the great God that he is. Let me pray for you. Father, as we come before you this day, may these words and this encouragement not get lost. Father, may we see the need to use the tools, the equipping that you have given to us. Your scripture calls it our battle armor. Father, may we not leave it behind, but may we take it with us wherever we go. And in those times of despair, when all seems lost or hopeless, shine your light upon us. Reassure us of your presence. Reassurance of your love. And even the coping process, Father, is ours for the asking. But may we always know that you are there and you delight in your children asking you to share the grace that you have in store for us. So, Father, may we ask, may we seek, and may we use the power that is ours. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.